It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Western Balkans, a troubled land for more than a century, and now the news from Kosovo. NATO's mission in Kosovo, KFOR, has declined a Serbian government request to send up to 1,000 police and army personnel to Kosovo after clashes between Serbs and Kosovo authorities. This, according to the president of Serbia, Vučić. Serbia's former province of Kosovo declared independence in 2008 following the 1998-99 war, during which NATO bombed Rump Yugoslavia, that would be Belgrade, the capital, comprising Serbia and Montenegro, to protect Albanian-majority Kosovo. There is complete confusion here all these years later as to what progress has been made, despite the NATO and EU and offices of many capitals of Europe to invest money and time and personnel to negotiate these hard feelings that date back at least a century, perhaps more. Helping me on this matter is Ivana Stradner of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who first introduced me to President Vučić some time ago, and I've watched every time he's in the news. He's a vigorous man, big shoulders, speaks with great authority, and yet it appears he is a driver for disorder. Ivana, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. As I understand it, Kosovo was once, what is now Kosovo, was once part of Serbia. And it has, at least in part of Kosovo, the northern part, I believe, many Serbian ethnics who associate themselves and their cultures to Serbia, not to the new state of Kosovo. What is it that triggered this most recent confrontation where we read of barricades and arrests and violence? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you very much for inviting me again to your show. And I really appreciated it to use the critical word, which is hard feelings. That's the driving force behind for many, you know, irrational dispute between Kosovo and Serbia. And you're absolutely right. Serbia has never recognized Kosovo. And this dispute has been going on for decades intensively. What we see right now is, I have to admit, really nothing new. The West is very nervous about what's happening in the region because of Ukraine. And to some extent, they should be nervous because Vladimir Putin is doing everything possible to distract the West from the war in Ukraine. And with his help with the proxies in Serbia, he's trying to install a new chaos in the region. But you also mentioned President Vučić, and he also has his own reasons why there were barricades, why there are protests, why there are unrest, why there is chaos in the region. And that is because his strategy is to balance between China, Russia, Europe, and the United States. And in order to do that, he needs to escalate always the crisis and to be basically the problem for it, but also to project himself as a solution. And then he de-escalates and uses that to negotiate with the West, because Serbia is not a full democracy anymore. So the main purpose for Vučić is to remain in power. And can you imagine a better way other than always to have a leverage to negotiate with the West and to project himself as a source of stability? So on one side, I do understand why people in the West are nervous about this conflict. But as of today, I do not think that this conflict will result in a serious war like the one we had saw like during the 90s or the war in Ukraine that we see right now. However, I am also not very hopeful, like many diplomats in the West, that this will be easily solved. As we are talking, the United States and European Union are heading to the Balkans trying to solve this issue. But one thing I can tell you will be very, very difficult, you know, to find a mutual solution, because neither Russia nor Serbia have an incentive to solve this this problem. So I'm confident to say that what we are seeing right now, it will continue to escalate in the near future.
What happens in the Balkans doesn't stay in the Balkans. I've learned from Ivana to look to Moscow and to look to Moscow's affection, exploitation, friendship, comradeship, clientitis to parts of the Western Balkans. We mentioned the president of Serbia. Serbia has not denounced Russia for its invasion of Ukraine. Serbian gets energy supplies from Russia, but it isn't the only part of the Western Balkans that's under Moscow influence. There's also said to be Croats who are sympathetic to Moscow and Bosnian Serb nationalists under a man named Dodik, who are sympathetic to Moscow. All these elements that are sympathetic to Moscow, do they work together? Do they talk? Does Belgrade talk to Pristina to talk to the Croat Serbs? Are these all tribal units who look to Moscow for strength?
So you're absolutely right that Russia has been using the Balkans. They never wanted to roll on tanks there or to, for example, occupy the Balkans. They don't care about that. They understand very well that ethnic tensions as well as religious tensions are enough to install chaos in the region that can cause additional problems to Europe. That's all Moscow wants. So how does Moscow do it? Through its proxies, through social media influence operations campaign. For example, Russian RT and Sputnik are perfectly operating from Belgrade. Russia also has, for example, they recently, the Wagner Center, they open another information operation center that operate cooperates with Belgrade. There are numerous troll farms and bot farms operating from the Balkans. They also have very close religious ties because Serbia and Russia share the same religion, which is Orthodox Christianity. And Russia is using that as a leverage, always to invest in churches, always to invest in different events. So a lot of soft power. And you're absolutely right. Energy is also the key leverage that Russia has used in the region. So there are a lot of ways that Russia has been using to using the region to to create chaos. So you are right. When it comes to Bosnia, so we just spoke about Kosovo, but it's not only Kosovo, because Russia has been investing even more resources in destabilizing Bosnia. And I've been warning that, you know, for years, what we are seeing right now in Ukraine is just part of the bigger picture that Russia wanted to do. So Bosnia is a fascinating place because you still have religious tensions because of different religion groups, Catholics and then Muslims and then Orthodox Christians. And then you have problems like with tripartite presidency. So what you just mentioned, Mr. Dodik, he has been serving as a Russian mouthpiece for years. He just recently stated that all Serbs should live in one country. So that really reminds of rhetorics of the 90s and the wars, lots of ethnic tensions. So you had, for example, he just had a parade that marked unconstitutional Republika Srpska Day, where you also were able to see, for example, Russian wolves, night wolves, and they're called like a Putin's angels. It's a biker gang that actually serve as a source of instability in many numerous, you know, places. So Russia does have a lot of leverage, you know, also in Bosnia. But I have to admit that the West has done a lot of preemptive things over the past 1 year to prevent something, to prevent escalation, because Dodik has threatened with secession. And that's exactly what Russia was trying to do, to organize chaos through secession. So they impose sanctions. They run numerous, you know, military exercises over there. So they send, you know, enough credible signals. So I'm not, as of today, so concerned about true war in Bosnia, but you know, what you will see, you will definitely see more escalations like the ones that we've seen over the past few months.
There are other parts of the Western Balkans that are sympathetic and leaning toward the European Union because the EU is offering membership. I mentioned North Macedonia, Montenegro, and Albania. Are the Serbs indifferent to joining the EU? Is that not compelling to them? Yes. That would be a great advantage for their young people and for their economy.
Certainly, I absolutely agree with you in theory. But the problem is that a lot of Serbs have left Serbia because of very high corruption, lack of meritocracy. It is very difficult to live there. And the thing is, yes, Serbia is on the European Union path. And if you listen to Vucic's statements carefully, he rarely talks about EU membership. He talks about EU path. Why? Because throughout the process of joining the European Union, European Union sends so much money to Serbia, a lot of money. And that's exactly what Vucic needs. He needs money to feed his population. But on the other hand, he's using China and Russia to, you know, make energy deals and arm deals, et cetera, et cetera. Vucic does not want Serbia to join the European Union. You know why? Because when you have Serbia is not a full democracy. It's called a hybrid regime. So dictators, they do not benefit from EU memberships. You will have basically, unfortunately, Serbia is currently on the way of becoming another Hungary in the European Union. And I'm not sure that it's also in the EU interest to allow Serbia to join the European Union under this particular leadership mechanism. So I'm not actually sure that this leadership wants Serbia to become a full EU member, although they truly embrace and they love the European Union money.
Ivana Stradner of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy is helping me with the Western Balkans, always updating the tensions. You note that during this conversation, we talked about outside influence peddling by Russia and China. This is a small example in the Western Balkans of a case that Ivana explains in a recent article in the New York Post about Russia and China directing its disorder online towards the United States and our allies. When we come back, what is the state of online interference in American democracy, and is it succeeding from Moscow, from Beijing, from Pyongyang, from Tehran? I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No